Hey everyone, welcome to this week's show. I am Lisa Anderson. Let me give you a little sneak peek as to what is happening on this week's show. Later on, the inbox, you get more of me. I'm answering the question because it's about being single and isolated in church. Oh, look, I haven't dealt with that before, like every Sunday. No, not every Sunday, but it has happened in seasons, folks. So I'm going to answer a question from one of y'all on how really to deal with that. For our roundtable, we have got the fabulous Brandon and Ashley back. Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
Great to have you. And a new face and voice. I'm really just saying voice because this is a audio show. But Juliana is here. Hey, Juliana.
Hi.
Great to have her because not only is she on the show, but she's one of our summer boundless interns. So we are looking forward to just sucking the life out of her over the next couple months on our behalf to work for All Things Boundless. So she's a Californian. Very excited
nice.
To have you. I know. Very cool. I know. Brandon did his time in CA as well.
Yep. Yeah.
Very
happy cool. to be in Colorado, though.
Yeah. Well, I don't even know how you can say anything about being alone, being from California, especially Southern California. It's like you're just people on top of you all the time. But that's okay. Maybe this is a different sense of that. Well, we're going to talk about the whole concept of being alone, because I think that most people's first impression is that is a very bad thing. We tend to equate aloneness with loneliness and just general, you know, not being not wanted or not. But for most of us who are single, I think there's different seasons or different manifestations of being alone, some of which are unfortunate, you know, and some of which aren't great, but other, you know, things that are good. And I think that really for anyone who is walking out life and certainly faith, you're going to have seasons where there's more time for being alone. Do you guys think, I mean, it's my assumption in people that I've talked to, especially single young adults, that if they just get married, all of their relational like needs are going to be met, and then they won't deal with this sense of like, oh, I'm alone, or I'm not heard, or I'm not included, or I'm not, and that will fill some kind of void. Did you ever walk through a season of feeling that, or do you feel that now, or have friends who've kind of been in that spot?
I've definitely thought that before, but like you said, I think being alone isn't the same thing as being lonely, and I've heard a lot of stories, even working here, of people who are in marriages and are very lonely. Mm-hmm. But then at the same time, you can be alone and also feel perfectly satisfied and fulfilled. Mm-hmm. So I think that is definitely one of the lies that Satan tells us, is that that other person is going to completely satisfy you and take away whatever void that you feel. Mm-hmm. And that's just not the case.
Yeah.
I've definitely felt the same way just throughout the years, thinking that a spouse would be a person who knows you so intimately, and that's a void that I feel a lot of single people probably have. But, you know, that is a lie that Satan tries to attack you with, and the only way that you can truly feel fulfilled is through Christ, and we already have that intimacy available to us. But it's often ignored.
Good point.
I think even in a more of like a friendship or a situation where you surround yourself with people, if you're dealing with issues that can make you still feel alone even in a big group of people. So I think there is that big difference between being lonely because you don't have community and being alone just, you know, maybe in a circumstance or in whatever you're doing at that time. So,
Now, I know, Brandon, when you were asked to be on this roundtable, you were like salivating because it's a classic introvert. This is like your sweet spot.
Yep.
You're just like, let me just tell you about my life.
I was dancing
and how
in private.
Amazing it is. So tell us about what alone means for you. How is it, if it's restorative, if it's a time for you to just get inside your own head, if it's, what does it do for you in any given day?
It can be both of those. I find, especially my role, my current job, I'm around people pretty much all day. I'm in meetings, I'm managing projects, I'm just either communication just all day. And so at the end of the day, there's sometimes I just need that time just to not talk to anyone, not to be near anyone. So it's kind of more that recharge. And so exercise is big. I go for a run or working out, things I can do by myself, even reading, maybe sometimes it's watching Netflix. So that can be a time that I just need to recharge. In college, I used to just go watch a movie by myself, not like at a theater, but I just couldn't be around people. I'd get very snarky. I'd start which it's hard to imagine for me. I'm just such a pleasant guy all the time, you know. But I could tell when my attitude would start to change that I needed to take a step back. And then there's other times that I just feel like I need to be more spiritually connected with God, just get away, pray, devotionals and stuff like that. So,
okay. Ashley and Juliana, what does being alone look like for you, especially in light of your personality types?
Well, I'm an extrovert. Mm-hmm. So for a long time, I really hated being alone. And I equated being with people to success almost. Sort of like if you're really popular and you have lots of friends and people all around you, then you've kind of made it in life. And you know, when you go to restaurants and you see people eating by themselves and you're like, oh, how sad for them. They don't have anyone to eat with or whatever. But I think God has really changed my heart in that, especially even moving out to Colorado where I didn't know a single soul, and realizing that being alone isn't a sign that there's something wrong with you, but actually can be a sign that you're emotionally healthy and that you are okay with your thoughts, just being alone with your thoughts and being alone with God, and that having people around doesn't really say anything about your value or your worth. And actually can almost be a crutch sometimes for ignoring God or pushing away time alone. If that makes sense. So I've been working on making time by myself without friends, without even music, without the TV, sometimes turning off the phone and just being alone to be, like the psalmist said, to be still and know that God is God. And that's been really good for my emotional and spiritual health.
So. That's great.
Yeah, I'm kind of in between you both. I used to think I was more introverted. And then my sophomore year of college, I studied abroad in London with a group of 40 other students. And it was awesome. And we all lived in a house together. So it was, we were on each other's feet like all the time and in this great sense of community. But that coming back my junior year, I really noticed how alone I felt when everybody had their different schedules. And I had my personal schedule and going back to my room and in that loneliness, which before I didn't really grapple with that as much, but being in that physical isolation, really, I really felt the loneliness crouch down on me more. And those were some of the hardest times of the year. But through that, those were also some of the biggest periods of growth. And when I would quiet my heart and nobody else was there, that I would open my Bible and be filled with the Word and really have my spirit recharged. So I've definitely learned through those times.
Okay. So let's talk about, I mean, you guys touched on this, but let's talk about doing alone well, like in the, you know, just in the weekly, the daily, weekly, that kind of stuff. And then we're going to talk a little bit more about like doing this season of life, like young adulthood with aloneness well. But talk about just moments in your week or whatever where you've really recognized either expectedly or unexpectedly that, wow, this time alone really did end up being a game changer for me or something that I needed.
I honestly, again, just from the role that I'm in, like right after work, there's about like that hour that I feel like I just need to have time to not think about anything, to not, you know, I'll go for a run, I'll exercise, I'll do things where I can just completely break away and just get that, even that little bit of charging. You know, I'll hang out with friends, but I usually try to put a buffer in between when I'm done with work and meeting with them so that I can really, truly just like process through. I process stuff as well, so I have to kind of think through things just to let that kind of go through my mind from what happened throughout the day. And then I can put that aside. And if I'm that night hanging out with someone, then I can focus on them instead of still working through stuff that might have happened during the day.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah.
Like I said, I like to have like usually one night at home, not going out, not having friends over. But another big thing I recently started doing in the morning, not turning my phone on until after I've had breakfast and read my Bible. Just having that time when I first wake up, it's quiet, I'm by myself. That's a really great way to start the day and having my mind focused on the Lord and not focused on all these other like texts and emails and notifications and all that. And then something else that obviously you can't do every week, but I think it's cool when you can get out for a weekend and just go camping or go into the wilderness and really get away from everything and really just be still before the Lord. That's been super good for me as well.
Similarly, I love using the mornings to just quiet myself, and I really find going on runs is a great time to just listen to music and reflect on everything that's going on in life and how God's working in my life, and use that time as a physical act of worship as well, while I can ponder God's goodness as well. And then right before I go to bed, I love to use that as a time to recenter my focus on the day. And the past few years, I've taken up journaling, and it's something that at times, like when I'm really busy, it seems like the last thing I want to do. But it's so awesome even to go back and look at my journal posts from the past few years and see the emotions I was feeling, because your emotions go up and down constantly. And you get attacked the same ways a lot of times. And just read those past posts and speak the truth in the verses that helped me then over myself, and they help again and again. So.
It's interesting you guys say that about running, because I use my time running to think about when I'm going to be done running. I find that God rarely interrupts my thoughts, because I just ignore him, because I'm just like, dear Jesus, please help me get home and be done with this. But no, that's good. How do you all ensure, especially when you're trending a little more towards introversion, that you keep a good balance in this area, that you don't all of a sudden start to isolate too much or become negatively associated with your aloneness, or start going back into, Ashley, as an extrovert, the whole, oh, I've been alone a lot lately, maybe people don't want to be around me. Maybe I need to go find some more friends. What? How do you guys maintain a balance in that?
Well, for an introvert, it's dangerous, because you can get into that very quickly. And I've had seasons of life where I've become almost a recluse outside of a job that I've had. But I have standing appointments with a couple close friends that, you know, every couple weeks we're getting together. So I'm usually a couple nights a week, you know, doing something, but it's with one of those guys. And it's just kind of a, you know, sometimes we can't meet, but just that time that I can be intentional about making sure that I'm keeping friendships up. And because otherwise, it's very, for me, it's very easy just to sink into my own world, and I'm comfortable operating
in that. Like you said before, to justify, well, I'm with people all day, so that counts, you know, quote unquote. No, that's good.
I think that you mentioned being intentional, and I think that's such an important factor of it, to just be so intentional with the time that you spend alone, as well as with when you're with people and in community. You see various accounts throughout the Bible of Jesus pulling away to have his spirit be nurtured and strengthen his spirit. And I think that's one of the biggest components of alone time, is using that time to strengthen your spirit, so then you can go out and be an image bearer of Christ and the love and the truth that he's spoken to you. You can then go out and pour into other people. And another factoring line would be, if you are alone and maybe you go to the cafeteria and sit alone during lunch just to have that quiet time, but you have somebody who comes up and wants to be with you, I think in that moment, it's important to always be welcoming of them and use whatever option, if they come to you, just to be with them in that moment.
Yeah, the struggle for me more is making the time to be alone. I tend to go more like, I just want to say yes to everyone and hang out all the time. And so I think for me, having like just the resolve to say no and not feeling guilty about saying no is something that I've had to kind of cope with and learn how to do, and to realize I don't have to be at every event and I don't have to go to every single thing, and it's okay. So I think that's more where my balance is learning, like, okay, I can say no to this and I can be alone, and that's okay, and that's good, actually. And if I don't do that, then I end up being exhausted and don't have that energy and the spirit filledness to pour into others, because I've just been going and
I think that's good. So how do y'all think that this may or may not change looking ahead to potential marriage in your future? Because what if you know, Brandon, you marry a raging extrovert who's like, I just planned all five nights of our week, so welcome, you know, to these parties.
I think that I would realize that they were an extrovert. And that wouldn't, well, I don't know. You know, God might have to
teach me something. They're going to do the bait and switch on you. They're going to come off all introverted and then surprise.
And then all of a sudden, you know, I've been in past relationships where I've made the mistake of saying I needed, you know, X amount of time by myself, and it comes across as being
a mistake.
Yes. So I think there's just that healthy balance. I mean, number one, I hope that God obviously he knows who he's going to bring into my life and that, you know, I can handle that, you know, and there's always things you can learn and grow and do, you know, maybe I'm too much of an introvert and I need to have someone kind of pull me out of that. And, you know, I'm completely open to having, you know, something where I possibly became more extroverted, you know, but I also think that, you know, just kind of setting, hopefully the other person acknowledges that, you know, how I best recharge and how I best, you know, kind of get filled up is really to have some of that time alone. And maybe you just have to adjust your schedule too. You know, maybe you become more of a morning person. You need to get that time in the morning where, you know, at the end of the day, you have a spouse now, you have to go home and and be committed to that too. So it's just things that you need. I think you need to be open to being flexible, but also making sure that you don't get burned out and that you do keep that time.
Sure.
So. Yeah. Well, obviously, I've never been married, and so I don't know what it will be like exactly. But yeah, I think you said it really well that being flexible, but also I think having accountability, not losing some of your other, you know, mentors that you've had before or friends before, and still having them be involved and remind you to spend time with the Lord and to encourage you to keep having that alone time. I think that could help as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely agree and think it will be even harder than when you have that other person that is also looking for your time and wanting to be with you. But I think it's so important to make a point to each have your time with God and be filled up first then. And then I think that will only strengthen your relationship when you come together and are able to share what you've learned in those times.
Yeah, I think that's good. It's interesting because I think to myself of like alone time, you know, over the years or whatever, my own story, because I think one of the misconceptions people have about me is that I'm totally extroverted and I'm just always around people, but I'm actually pretty borderline in that sense. And so I think for me, especially having lived through singleness for a lot longer period, there's been a lot more time for me to become accustomed to aloneness and be okay with it. And I've gone through different seasons of, am I just alone because people don't want to be around me versus, you know, oh, I kind of like being alone. And so I think it's been an interesting story to walk through, but recognizing that I kind of, like Ashley, have to craft that time to be alone. And there's a difference between, I think, being productively alone and just being alone to check out or forget life or forget the world. Not that that's, sometimes you do need that and like that little buffer between, for example, the workday and stuff. But I think those are good points and actually very challenging to me in the sense of what y'all have said of like, yeah, what does it look like to be intentionally and creatively alone for the purpose of being restorative and being equipped to better relate to people and give more time and energy to people as needed, you know, and really to the work that we're called to do. So those are great thoughts. And I think, you know, some of us will say, oh yeah, because I'm single, this is a natural thing for me, or it's easier or more accessible. And that may or may not be the case, but I think we all have that opportunity to be in our own space and see what God does with it. So thanks you guys.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.